God. If you have your Bibles, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 22, and we'll be reading verses 34 through 40. And by the help of the Holy Ghost, this is going to work. I was writing this sermon late last night and early this morning. And you know, at 3 or 5 in the morning, everything sounds brilliant. So we'll see if it still sounds as good as it did early this morning when I was half awake. So if anything, any good comes out, I know it's just God. So when you get there, say amen. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I'm going to read verse 40 again. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Today I want to preach to you a message called the third law. The third law. Let us pray today. Lord Jesus, I commission this message into your hands, and I pray, oh God, by your Spirit, that hearts and minds would be transformed into the image of Christ. I pray, God, let chains be broken. Let people be liberated even by your word, by your Spirit, oh God. Let them not be just enticing words or man's wisdom, but in demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray it to be so in the name of Jesus. We right now, we cancel every assignment of the enemy that he has placed against this house. We disannul it right now in the name of Jesus. We command it right now that it would come to naught. In Jesus' name, and we release the power of God to save souls and for people to be healed and delivered and blessed. And we thank you right now for the victory. And in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So I want to talk to you today about laws. And unfortunately, if you hated school, you're going to get a little bit of a physics lessons today. So just kind of bear with me as I go through this. But I read this passage of scripture that talks about two great laws, the two greatest laws in all the Bible. And if you look in the Old Testament, there's over 600 commandments that are in the Old Testament for the Jews to follow. And Jesus was asked this question as to what is the greatest of all these 600 plus laws that are in the Old Testament. And Jesus, with his wisdom, he summed up the entire law with really two. And the first being to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the second, which is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And one of the things that struck me as I was reading this, because I was having a conversation with an atheist. And one of the things that the atheist might say is to, why on earth should we believe in God? Why on earth should we listen to the Bible? Why on earth should we even follow these commands that are written in the Bible? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. What value or what worth or what credibility or validity is there to this commandment that we should follow it? And I want to answer that question today by, like I said, giving a little bit of a science lesson and answering the question as to why should we follow this commandment? Why should I love God? Why should I love God with all of my heart? Why should I love my neighbor who might be a jerk or might be someone who is an enemy or a foe or is out to get me? Why on earth, what motivation could you possibly supply me that would enable me to love God with everything that I have? I'm going to try and answer that question today. But first, I want to look at one of the laws of physics that was discovered by Sir Isaac Newton. Sir Isaac Newton was a brilliant man, was a Christian man, and actually was one of the few people at that time who did not even believe in a Trinity. He actually believed in the oneness doctrine. Was a very interesting figure. He actually contributed to the invention of calculus, which I really hate a lot. Not sure why he did that. No, I'm just joking. But I do hate calculus. But he actually contributed many scientific and mathematical things to science. He discovered and defined properly the laws of gravity and various other components to our physical nature. And I want to look at the third law that he described in relation to the laws of motion in physics. Formally stated, Newton's third law is for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. The statement means that in every interaction, there is a pair of forces acting on the two interacting objects. The size of the forces on the first object equals the size of the force on the second object. So, in other words, for every action, every force that is exerted on an object, there is an equal and opposite force that is coming back in return to that force. For example, me standing on this stage. Right now, the force of my body weight is being exerted on this stage. There's an equal and opposite reaction transpiring right now that is causing the floor to push back upon my feet, causing me to stand here. If the force was greater in either direction, either I would go into space or I'd go through the floor. There has to be an equal and opposite reaction. So for every action that ever occurs in physics, in particular regarding motion, there is an opposite and equal reaction to that action. So here's my question to you. So let's look at this spiritually, not just in the physical laws. How great must the reaction be to the actions of God? What force is greater than God? We talk about the gravitational forces or the electromagnetic forces and all the various forces that are in our existence. But what force is greater than God? And for every action that this force, which is God, makes, there is an opposite and equal reaction to that action. So how great, how amazing must the reaction be when God does something? Think about that just for a minute. That for every action that God does, there is an equal and opposite reaction, that God gets a return on his investment on everything that he ever does. Let's just look at throughout creation regarding God's action. Psalms 33, verse 6 says this, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." That for every action there was an equal and opposite reaction. And even if you look at the beginning before creation began, that God, he spoke and he said, "Let there be light." And even though there was nothing there to react, nothing reacted and produce light. That God said, "Let there be a division between the waters, and that dry land might appear." And there was an equal and opposite reaction, that land appeared, that everything that God said, "Let the sun and the stars and the moons come into being." And there was an equal and opposite reaction to his spoken word. And the moon and the stars and the planets and the various celestial bodies came into existence. That every time God acts, there is a reaction. And what a reaction, that the very existence of the universe that we live and dwell in is there just a reaction to what God has said. Think of just the word universe. Universe is Latin. Una meaning one. Verse meaning sentence. Universe, that we are living in the universe because God said, "Let there be," and there was. What a reaction there must be that when God speaks. The Bible says in Psalms 118, verse 23, that this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. What an amazing thing that every action that God does, there is an equal and opposite reaction to what he does. Now, the thing is that with God, God was actually setting up for the master, the ultimate chain reaction, the ultimate equal and opposite reaction to his actions. With all of his intelligence and wisdom and power and might, God was looking for the most opposite, most equal, ultimate reaction that there ever could be. And even though he, with his word, he created the heavens, he created the stars, he created the planets and the mountains and the oceans and all the animals and all the life forms that are in existence today, all of these things were nothing compared to the reaction he was really looking for. And the reaction he was looking for is love. Is love. And the question is, why is that? I mean, God, who is omnipotent and all-powerful, omniscient and all-knowing and omnipresent everywhere at once, and has all this power, and anything he does causes an equal and opposite reaction. Of all the reactions he looks for is love. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8 that he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. There's a mathematical equation for you, that God is equal to love. That all the various descriptions of God's attributes, they fail in comparison to this sole component, that being that he is love. Yes, he is righteous. Yes, he is holy. Yes, he is gracious and merciful and kind. Yes, he is peaceful. Yes, he brings joy. Yes, he is omnipotent and all-powerful. He is the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient, self-sustaining, self-existent God. But all these things fail in encapsulating the greatness and the wonder and the splendor of our God, and that is this one word, love. The very nature and essence of God is love, and therefore the very thing that God is pleased with the most is love. Love is the one thing that God cannot provide for himself, because love by its very definition is selfless and giving. Love gives, it doesn't necessarily take. And that's a little marriage, a little sermon. Since it is Valentine's Day, why don't we just go there just for a minute anyway? That love does not necessarily take, but love gives. And that a lot of people have confused lust with love. Lust takes. Lust is just do me, make me happy, please me. I don't care about the consequences. I only care about the high that I experience when I'm doing this thing. But love thinks about the other person first. Love gives. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love is the ultimate reaction. It's the highest idea in philosophy. It's the greatest thing that mankind could ever understand or experience is love. The Bible defines love in 1 Corinthians 13:4. In reality, it is defining the very nature and essence of God. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says charity. In the Greek, there is agapia, which is another word for love. The translators chose charity because charity is love in action. That the type of love that God has is not a love that is passive or apathetic, that sits by and lets life pass it by. But love is an action. It's a doing. And so they chose charity. That if I'm being charitable to you, I'm being loving to you. The Bible says charity or love, it suffers long. It is kind. It envies not. Love vaunted not itself. It's not egotistical. It's not on some arrogant ego trip. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It's not all about me, but love is all about giving. Love is all about what can I make you happy with. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This is love. This is the action. So then what on earth could be the reaction to the action of this loving God? Love is a force that requires an object to be exerted on. Again, love has to give. But if love has nothing to give to, then love doesn't, it's kind of worthless. It's invaluable. That love is a force that requires an object to be exerted on. So God created the ultimate object for which this force could be released upon. And that object, my brothers and sisters, was mankind. He said, what on earth could I exert the force of my great love and compassion on? What on earth could possibly absorb and possibly give me the return, give me the reaction that is equal to the action that I am creating? And he said, I am going to create mankind, someone who is in my likeness and in my image. Because only my likeness and only my image could give an equal and opposite reaction to the action of my love. Hope I'm helping somebody today. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Don't you understand that every action that God has done from the beginning of time has been just to get this one reaction? That he created the heavens and the earth, he created a paradise, a perfect world, just to put the man that he had formed, just so he can get a reaction out of that man? My God, the third law that every action produces a reaction that is equal and opposite to itself. But the fact of the matter is that this situation, it almost deals with a very age-old question. That what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object? That everything reacts to the actions of God, or is moved in response to God in the direction that he wills, except for mankind. Think about it. Despite all the actions that God has done, God created a paradise, created a place with no war, with no famine, with no hatred or any type of strife, with no type of racism or prejudice, with a place with no rapings or molestings or young men being gunned down in gang violence. He created a paradise, a utopia, and they threw it away. Mankind tossed it aside, rejected God, and instead embraced its sin, embraced Satan, embraced wickedness. God's love is being put on the heart of man, and man refuses to move, refuses to produce an equal and opposite reaction to the greatest force in the universe. Mankind threw it away. Threw it away. You look through the entire Bible, it's just nothing but a love story gone bad. That we have our hero in the story that is trying everything he can to get the attention of a bride. It's almost like Hitch. That people try and go through their lives trying to impress this person. And God is doing everything he can. He's a not-so-secret admirer. He causes the heavens to declare his glory. And the firmament showeth his handiwork that declares his undying eternal love for you. Every sunrise is a love song to you. When the waves clash together, it's evidence of God's love for you. Of the force that's being exerted on the greatest object there is. That is us. But yet throughout the Bible, man just rejects it. God opened the Red Sea for the Israelites, and they just, few moments later, they're worshiping an idol. God does miracle after miracle. God said, okay, finally, look, I'll come down here myself to really prove it. He heals the sick, he raises the dead, he opens blinded eyes and deaf ears and casts out devils, and people still are rejecting God. People are still turning their heart from God and remain unchanged and unmovable. How stubborn must we be when the greatest force in the universe is being pushed upon you to move you out of sin and into righteousness, out of darkness into light, and you refuse to move. You refuse to cause an equal and opposite reaction to the greatest love that is in the universe. The Bible says in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Men rejected God. Have you ever been rejected before? You put yourself out there to get someone's attention. Perhaps to get a date. Perhaps to get a promotion. Perhaps to get a friendship or relationship. And have someone reject you, and you feel so despondent and so dejected and just feel like your world's going to end. How could someone reject me? Put yourself in God's shoes. Because God wasn't just rejected by just one cute girl or just one handsome young man. The entire human race rejected him and said, we don't want anything to do with you. Even though he created them, even though he gave them perfection, even though he gave them everything they could possibly want to move, to cause an equal and opposite reaction. And yet people throw it in the garbage. Every day we have people that they get up, some curse God, some people hate God. Imagine 6-7 billion people every day cursing you, hating the very fact that the idea of you even exists, being rejected by your own children that you created. God says, I've done miracles, I've done signs and wonders, I've created a paradise, and yet all of my efforts, all of the force that my love is pushing still won't move them. So God comes up with a plan. The ultimate reaction must first have the ultimate action. So then he realizes the ultimate action must be something very high, because everything else I've done has failed to cause an equal and opposite reaction, a return of that love to me. So God comes up with the ultimate action. John 10, verse 17. I want you to see this. John 10, verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment, this law, have I received of my Father. If I'm going to get the ultimate reaction, I'm going to have to put everything I have into that action. And the ultimate action was for me to lay down my life. Lay down my life. I'm going to put all of my love in a human form and call him Jesus. And I'm going to put every effort of my omnipotent power in an action called the cross. And let's see if this, above all actions, that I lay down my life, that I will die and give everything I have just to get an I love you back. A reaction from mankind. John 15:12 says this. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. For greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said, he realized it. If I'm going to get the ultimate reaction, I must commit the ultimate action. And the ultimate action is to lay down my life. I put my hand on prophets, and I put my hand on this person. I'm going to put my everything into one person, Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, I will put all of my love, all of my mercy, all of my righteousness, all of my grace in one action, in the cross, in the nails that went in the hands. The force of God's love is equal to the force of the nails that went into those hands. The force of God's love is equal to the lashes that went into his back. The force of God's love is so strong it's equal to the hair being ripped from his face. My God. But yet, mankind even still, is resistant and stubborn and will not produce the equal and opposite reaction. God had to produce the greatest action that transcends time, space, and eternity. I want to go back to Matthew 22, verse 34, which is my scripture text. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law. The thing I want you to understand is that these two commandments, technically, they are not actions. They are reactions. They are reactions. I posed the question at the beginning of this message as to why on earth should I follow this commandment? Why am I commanded to love you or to love him? I can't help how I feel. And that's the problem, because we think love is a feeling. We think it's an emotion. We think it's some sensation, some Twitter patient that comes upon us and causes us to feel some type of way and get the vapors. But no, love is more than that. Love is greater than that. The God type of love, the agape type of love, is independent of feeling or emotion. It's based upon decision and choice. And before you were ever born, God made a decision to love you for better, for worse, in sickness and health, for richer, for poor. And his love is so great that death cannot do you part, because if you should die, you should go into the hands of your lover, Jesus the Christ. Why should I listen to this law? And you'd only get the answer until you understand the third law. The first law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. The second law is to love your neighbor as yourself. Let me give you the third law. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Here is the answer, the third law. We love him, verse 19, because he first loved us. The reason why I should love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength, and the reason why I should love my neighbor as myself, because he first loved me with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his strength, with everything that he has. And my reaction to such an action should be equal and opposite to that action. And returning that love back unto God and returning that love to everyone that I see. Why? Because that God who loves me loves you just as much. It's a reaction. Don't you understand that everything that we say and we do is simply a reaction to the action that was done 2,000 years ago on a bloodstained cross? It's just a reaction. I don't do it out of fear, or I don't do it out of some ego trip. I do it because I'm just trying to say thank you, Jesus, for loving me, because I was undeserving. It should have been me that was on that cross, not him. Yet we grumble and we complain. Do I have to read my Bible today? Do I have to come to church today? Why do I have to fast today? What? The answer to all of your questions is because he first loved you. Why do I have to read my Bible today? Because the book that you're reading The author of that is also writing a book about you. Actually, he wrote a book before you were born detailing every blessing that he had for your entire life. It's crazy, isn't it? Why should I pray and talk to God? Because he's talking to you constantly, sending love notes in the sunrises and in the waves that crash on the ocean. Why should I come to God's house? Because God comes to your house every day, because he's everywhere. Trying, begging, pleading, beseeching, trying to get the attention of someone that will give him an equal and opposite reaction to the action of the cross. My God. And let me tell you something. The reaction he wants is not fear. It's not fear. There's some people who come to church because they're afraid of going to hell. That is not the reaction that God wants, because God is love. And we just read that there is no fear in love. There's no fear in God. God is not trying to scare you into relationship like some Lifetime movie boyfriend that abuses you with a 2x4. No, God is trying to romance you. God is sending you chocolates. And God is sitting outside your window with a guitar serenading you. God is sending you flowers. And God is saying love notes and poetry to you. Trying to entice you. Oh my God, why won't you give me the reaction? And the thing about God is that God's love is so great that even if you don't react, he'll still keep giving. Because remember, love hopeth all things. Love beareth all things. For surely, Isaiah 53 verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Oh my God, the third law explains everything. Explains why I'm here today. Explains why I'm talking to you with such passion. Because he loves me. Even though I don't deserve it. Even though I should be dying in hell myself. He still forgives me. He still comes after me. He still allows me into his presence. He still comes after me with everything he has because he loves me. Because he loves me. And all I can do, the reaction that's in my heart, that's in the very core of my being, every fire of my being screams back out to you, I love you too. I want to tell the world of the love of Jesus Christ. People are blowing their brains out for the lack of this one truth, that Jesus Christ the righteous loves you. You don't have to be depressed anymore. You don't have to be insecure anymore. You don't have to cry yourself to sleep. Jesus loves you. When everyone else rejects you and everyone else judges you, Jesus Christ says, I love you this much. I love you this much. Don't be the immovable object that sits there stubbornly as the greatest force in the world, in the universe, is exerting itself on you. Are we going to give the equal and opposite reaction back to God? How can we equal the love of God? It almost sounds like an oxymoron. It sounds like we're just being set up for failure. But God only wants your best. He only wants you by percentage-wise. Let me explain something to you. When Jesus was at the temple and he saw the Pharisees and he saw rich people giving into the offering, they're giving just thousands of dollars worth of stuff. And then he saw a widow that came to the offering plate and she only gave 2 mites, which is basically half of a penny. It's not very much. And Jesus got up on his feet and he said, that widow has given more than all of these rich folk. And the disciples looking at him, you must be crazy. You understand, they gave of their excess, but she gave of her all. And the fact of the matter is with Jesus is that Jesus is not asking you to do something that he didn't do himself. He's not just asking, hallelujah. He's not just asking you just to give some, just to get. He gave 100% and he asked for the same back. An equal and opposite reaction to the action of Jesus Christ. My God. My God. That's why we should follow the commandments. The first and the greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. I do it because I'm scared of going to hell. I do it because he loves me. I pray for you because he loves me. I talk to people about Jesus because he loves me. I fast and I do everything I can because he loves me. People will do strange and crazy things for love. And the fact that God was so madly in love that he left the grandeur and the splendor of heaven itself and came down here to become mortal man, to be spit on and to be rejected. This is almost an insult, but just kind of put things in terms. Have you ever been in bed I've been sleeping so good. And then, you know, you suddenly wake up, the alarm goes off, and you got to go to work, or you got to go do this or do that. And you're so warm and snuggled and comfortable, and the blankets are just right, and the pillow is just nestling your head just right. And to remove yourself into the bitter cold, the bitter environment of your bedroom that is so frigid, and to go outside in the snow and the blizzard and just like, I don't want to do it. Can you imagine how comfortable God was when he was sitting in heaven? I mean, he's just sitting in the throne. He's got, this guy's worshiping me, that guy's worshiping me. I got everything I want or need. But he left untold countless number of angels worshiping him. He left streets of gold and pearls of jasper. He left all that stuff. He left eternity and became mortal and became sin, became wickedness. He became, the reaction that transpired at the cross was so immense and so great. I'm trying to quit, but I'm reaching for somebody today. That the Son itself could not even look in the form of Jesus Christ because the reaction was so amazing. The wickedness that was put on his frame was so immense that darkness was upon the universe for a period of some 3 to 4 hours. My God, if we'd only understood the third law. The third law is because. Because. As a parent, I'm going to become very acquainted with that phrase, because I said so. Because I said so. God saying, man, look, you need to come to church. You need to come to me. Why? Because not only did I say so, I did so. I did so. Let's stand. I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. I think I've made my point. It's Valentine's Day. A day in which love letters and flowers and all sorts of tokens of romance are being sent to people all over the country, all over the world. You know, God sent you a love note. It's pretty big. Took some 4,000 years to write. Over 40 different writers. He had to get 40 guys to try and write down kind of how he feels for you. But that wasn't enough. Again, he had to use the entire universe as his canvas. Creation itself declares his glory and his love for mankind. All of this was designed with the explicit intent of seeing the greatest reaction, greater than a nuclear bomb, greater than any nuclear physicist has ever seen. The greatest reaction is when a sinner has been moved by the cross and responds back and says, I receive that love. The atheist might say, why should I believe in God? Because he believes in you. Why should I love God? Because he loves you. Don't you understand? It's all the third law. It's all an equal and opposite reaction to the action that God has done. That's what it is. That's what this is all about. Just to drive the point in a little bit further. Because while Jesus was being mocked and being spit on, they were trying to get a reaction out of him. They were trying to get him to come down off the cross if you be the Son of God. But his original action, his intent of the first action, overruled any action that they could do to him. No matter how much hatred and vile, vulgar profanity they hurled in his face, they could not get him to move from the cross because he had to complete his mission, which was to create the action, the ultimate action that would draw all men unto him. Today is your day. This can be a very special Valentine's Day. Very special Valentine's Day. A day where you finally accept this love note. One of the problems, one of the reasons why we have problems in this area is because, man, it's hard to believe that God would love me. Even when my father, my mother said I was worthless and rejected me. When my friends, they make fun of me and mock me, and everyone else has given up on me, why would the God of the universe, who is eternal and perfect and righteous, want to have anything to do with me? I tell you the truth, that Jesus Christ indeed does love you, and you need to believe and accept that fact, that he loves you. and you have to do nothing to earn it. Your action is not an action, it's a reaction. You do nothing to gain this love. He gives it freely to you. Whatever you need, the action of the cross solves it. The action of the cross supplies everything, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You need to only make that step and react. God is waiting with bated breath. He's looking down from heaven, looking, seeing, will someone please react? I've been rejected so many times. I've been turned down by so many sinners so many times. And even my death on the cross, the ultimate action, could not move their stubborn hearts. Don't be the immovable object that stops the unstoppable force. No, be pliable. Open your heart to God. Jesus Christ loves you. I tell you what, there are a few subjects that get me emotional, like the love of God. Love of God gets me to just Niagara Falls. I can barely contain myself. Because I think about how unworthy I am. I think of how undeserving I am. Yet he still loves me. He still holds me when I'm scared. He still directs me when I'm confused. He still protects me when there's danger around me. Oh my God, how he loves us. How he loves us. The greatest revelation was penned in a child's song. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm trying to quit. But the love of Jesus is inexhaustible. It's eternal. It's unending. You could talk about it to eternity. React. Fulfill the third law. Fulfill that third law. Why should I love God? Because he first loves you. This is the third law. If you understand the third law, everything else falls into place. God loves you. Undeserving though you may be, he loves you. And all you need to do is react with a simple, I love you back. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you.